Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
For all the great conveniences that technology brings to our lives on a daily basis, it is pretty clear now that technology is making the world a more dangerous place, perhaps a less prosperous place in many situations, and nothing more stunning than this story of the military leaks now here in the United States from a government worker, a low-level government worker that apparently works at a military base somewhere that goes by the moniker of OG on some sort of a chat group room for gamers that he's been on for years, and he's apparently the leader of, as he's in his 20s, this group of about 25 males is both adults and kids, juveniles, teenagers, who got together on something called Discord and formed a gamers group during COVID-19. They started gaming against each other. They're faithful people, faithful men of God. They are gun owners. They talk about their experiences at gun ranges and things of this nature. And this man, OG, apparently is quite the personality and became, over time, the group's leader on this chat room. But he became a little frustrated as he had access to documents at his government job that were intel documents, secrets of the United States, and he would share them with this gamers group. And apparently they weren't as impressed with what he was sharing with them as he was. Because he knew it was a crime, apparently he was rewriting some of the things that he'd seen and telling these people in this group. And I'm going to guess he thought some of them either didn't believe him or they weren't very impressed. So he started taking photos of top secret military documents that he had access to and posting them with this group. He's apparently been doing this for months. The Washington Post has now uncovered 300 photographs of really top secret information on how we spied on our allies, photographs of the spy balloon, charts of where North Korea may launch nuclear bombs, and of course the Russia-Ukraine war. The Washington Post was able to speak with a teenager in this group, a minor, getting parental permission. They covered up his face but didn't change his voice. And they interviewed this young man, this child, juvenile, 17, I think he's 17, 16 or 17 years old, that started talking about all of the things that he's seen. He said, I felt like I was on top of the world. You know, I was like on top of the mountain because I was seeing all these things I knew I wasn't supposed to see, but I knew more than anyone on the planet because I was looking at these documents of all these things that were going on. He said that OG, who put these things out, is not pro-Russian. He's not really pro-Ukrainian. He is not in the Eastern Hemisphere. He's not near there. He has no, you know, everything, all the news that's gaining attention from these leaks has to do with the Ukrainian war. Because it's pretty obvious from the documents that were leaked, Ukraine's getting pounded and Russia's winning this war and the money we're sending there is not working. That's pretty much the story of what he has leaked here. But there's all kinds of other stuff, as I mentioned. Spying on our allies, photographs taken from apparently a U-2 plane or something of the spy balloon that was flying over North America, simulations of where North Korea would be launching bombs if they decided to go nuclear. I mean, this is scary, scary stuff that our government has intel. We have intelligence and we have spies. And we have all these things that we work very hard around the globe to ascertain. And somehow a very young man in his 20s, at a low-level government job that apparently is on a military base, has gained access to this. The lead of what he has released, or he didn't really release these, by the way. He just gave them to his chat group. He was showing off with his friends that he had these things, gaining control over it's just all technology, gaining control over a chat group of gamers. These people play video games together. It's on Discord. And he was basically becoming their leader and trying to impress them and showing off and getting all these things. And he did this. And the main headline here is the documents that he released that says there are grim prospects. That's the quote, grim prospects for Ukraine. So the reporting that we've seen, the fair reporting we've seen from the right about what's going on in Ukraine is accurate. What the Biden administration and our government officials have been telling us are complete and total lies about what's going on in Ukraine. The documents are now leaked. You can't put them back in the bag. This guy's going to prison forever. they will catch him, and they will likely catch him soon. I mean, really soon. If he's still at his job on a base somewhere, a government job, they might already have him in custody. I don't know why this would take any time whatsoever, but it is just frightening to see what technology does and how quickly things can spread and what people can do with these things. This would be along with Snowden and the person that was the transgender, I forget her name, his name, giant leaks that worked either for the government. They're all in their 20s when these things have happened. This wasn't some person that wanted to be a whistleblower, it doesn't sound like. It was a person showing off. I'm guessing if this chat group was about games, God, and guns, we're talking about somebody who's going to have some sort of conservative lean to him. So politically, that's probably going to be bad. But this all started during the pandemic when people went online, became more technically savvy. This person clearly is technically savvy. And 300 photographs of documents. They're not pictures. Some of these are photographs of documents that are written. Some of them are graphs and charts. Some of them are actual photographs. The Washington Post has them in their possession. They are not releasing those. They're keeping a lot of these to themselves. It is, I don't believe, known at this point how they got all of those, how the Washington Post got all that. It clearly came from somebody in the chat room. It could have been the person that they interviewed that probably was fearful that, hey, I'm in trouble here for receiving these things. Maybe I better come forward because I've looked at these things and say, look, this wasn't me. I've seen these, but it isn't me. I haven't committed a crime here. Maybe that's what this person is doing. There's nothing known about whether anybody else in the 25-person chat group is in any trouble for either forwarding these things, rewriting them to other people. My suspicion would be that they're going to go get this guy, and all of these people in the chat room are going to be raided, and their computers are going to be taken, and they're going to find out everybody that they could have possibly sent these to, and if they forward them or shared them, they're probably in legal trouble too. Now, being a juvenile is different than being an adult. This OG character is in all likelihood an adult, but it is astonishing to me that the more technology we have, the harder it is to keep it in. It is astonishing to me. And, you know, the headline for me isn't here some 20-something is trying to, you know, impress his friends because he sees documents at his work, at his government job, on a base, and he's showing off. That's the least surprising part of this story. What would be surprising is if this young person is, you know, a Russian plant or being paid by the Russians or Ukrainians. They're going to try to make it look like that. They're going to say this is Russia and they got in his head and this and that. No. This completely sounds like somebody in their 20s, a nerdy gamer that knows computers and games and stuff inside and out. A God worships God, loves guns. Apparently, Brad, they all told stories about going to gun ranges and things that they had done with their guns because they got to do some of that during COVID. No, this has all the markings of somebody just that's young and not stupid. This was apparently the smartest person in the chat group. The person who was interviewed by the Washington Post said, oh, he was the leader. He was the smartest guy among us. He didn't do something stupid here. He didn't take these photographs and send them to us not knowing it was a crime. Okay. He was just willing to risk it because he was gaining control over this group. He wanted to be our leader. He wanted us to look up to him as a father figure. And that's why he was doing this. I think I got the profile on what OG's all about. And I don't think it was taking money from the Russians trying to, you know, alter a war in Ukraine. It doesn't sound like that's it at all. This sounds like another young person that has been raised too much on technology and not enough on human interaction. I mean, you can see all this. This doesn't sound like anything different than the people we see that wind up becoming shooters or criminals or become, you know, suicidal or mental health issues. It's technology. I'm telling you, it's not normal for humans. It's a wonderful function of our lives for simplicity in a lot of different ways, from, you know, paying bills to learning information to whatever. But we are just wrecking the human condition with all this stuff. And this has all the markings of somebody that was kind of a loner. I'm going to bet, but this is just a hunch, I'm going to bet there's no girlfriend here, that this gaming space on Discord was everything to this young person. But for me, more than anything else, because the profile, there's always going to be people like this. More than anything else, are you not asking yourself today, would this be happening if Trump were president? Are you not asking yourself that? When we see a military that is so fixated on equality and equity and being woke and all this different training and things that they're doing, when we see a military complex in America focused on those things, is it not natural that they're not spending enough time on what's really important, and that's making sure that very few people have access to certain documents? You know, it's been reported there are billions, like billions, that the documents that Biden had and Trump had and Pence had at their house, pieces of paper, not unlike this one right here, pieces of paper that were marked classified, that there are literally billions of pieces of paper and an unknown number of people that have access to things that are stamped classified. This is another case of our government is too big. It cannot possibly manage. We know the government doesn't do things as well as private business. We already know that. Are you not scared to death about our military? And is the world not really laughing at us now? You got wars going on. You've got intel. You've got all these things. And some 20-something kid in a gaming chat room has these documents and shares them with his buddies. And then they get leaked to the Washington Post. This is astounding. This is just a major, major screw up. And it's our military. No matter how you say it, it's a military screw up. This can't happen. This cannot happen. This person cannot have access to these documents. Now, there's a side of me that believes in transparency and honesty and a lot of different things that I think are good for America. I don't always believe it when it comes to these things. There are certain things that our government needs to go find out intelligence about operations around the world to keep us safe. I have always believed that we're really good at that, and we do that the right way. I don't really need to know everything going on. But boy, when you see this stuff, it'll frustrate you. It will make you mad. We're up there taking photos of balloon and not shooting it down. We got simulations of North Korea and the nukes. We just heard Trump say with Tucker this week that, you know, he had a great relationship with Kim Jong-un, that he's a smart guy, but he's a little wobbly and he's got nukes and he's got the ability to launch them. And one nuke could lead to 10 nukes. And we're on the verge of World War III here in Ukraine with what we're doing there. And Ukraine is losing. And what's going to happen if Ukraine loses? If we get to a point where Russia has all this land in Ukraine, what are we going to do? At that point, does Joe Biden send troops in and we start fighting it? Does that lead to World War III? What's going to happen? Why are we in this? Why can't we just take care of us? I don't understand much of it. All I know is the people running in this country today are inept. And we have seen some military leaks or secret documents before. Those typically were whistleblowers, people trying to find things out. This just looks sloppy. It just looks sloppy. Like, okay, whatever. We don't protect this stuff very much anymore. Some 20-something that's a gamer, an online gaming dude, you know, skater boy is in here, but he's really smart and he really knows computers and he knows how to get things. And they didn't know for several months that this person had access to these documents. How could a low-level government employee, they're not even saying he's enlisted military, they're saying it's a low-level government employee at a military base. How could that person get access to this stuff? How can our military, our CIA, our spies, all of our intel, how can it be this sloppy? It's a hell of a story right here, folks. This is a hell of a story. And it's gotten to where I think the American public is just numb. We're losing at every turn. We have gaffe and mistake after gaffe and mistake, and we are so focused on non-serious things. They're desensitizing the American public. We've got this attitude. I just feel it out there of, yeah, we sort of expect that. there's an expectation in America now that we not be great anymore, that we don't want to be great. We want to be this silly, frivolous country that worries about your feelings and not your security. Like, we're worried more about words than criminals. We got all this crime in San Francisco. Nobody seems to care. Nobody seems to worry about it. We want to defund police. We're knocking people out of jail. We're letting them go. We're not prosecuting them because. But don't say something that is hurtful. We can't have hate speech. We can't call each other names. You can't have bias against a transgender. You can't think that's silly. You can't think this. You can't say this. But you know what? If you go hurt somebody, that seems to be okay. We're lost, man. This country right now, we are flat out lost on a lot of this stuff. All right, yesterday we welcomed a brand new sponsor to KKHI. It is Amini's Galleria, 105th and Metcalf. I've known Arash Amini and his family for decades. We had a long relationship on radio, and these are unbelievably great quality products. And if you're looking for outdoor furniture this spring, the tent sale begins Friday. It runs through the 23rd of April, and they're offering 60 months with no interest. So you've got 5 years to pay for it. If you want to get the good stuff, you need a little time to pay for it, you can do that. No interest for 5 years. It's all at Amini's Outdoor Furniture Tent Sale. They also have locations and tent sales going on in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. Blow their mind if you live in one of those places or you go into one of those stores and say, yeah, I listened to this podcaster out of Kansas City and I came in here. That might blow their mind a little bit, but you can do that in St. Louis, Tulsa, or Oklahoma City, of course, right here in Overland Park at 105th and Metcalf. I have a shuffleboard table from Amini's. All my outdoor furniture is from Amini's, but they also do hot tubs and saunas. They do rugs for all kinds of different areas. It's all right there at Amini's, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Do not forget it. They do this once a year. This is a big deal. It's the Outdoor Furniture Tent Sale. Begins Friday and runs through the 23rd at 105th and Metcalf at Amini's. Had lunch yesterday with my buddy Ron Buck over at Buck Roofing. We had a great chat about a whole bunch of different things. And many of you are calling Ron Buck and getting your roof inspected absolutely free. He told me about a client that you would know the name. It's somebody that's pretty famous. And said, yes, I was out to his place a couple of years ago. And I said, well, you got at least 2 years left on your roof. And I just got a call out of the blue. And the person said, hey, it's been 2 years. I probably just should go ahead and put the new roof on. I said, okay, let me come out and write it up, wrote it up. And they did it and they did the new roof. It's a heck of a story. And this is a person obviously very concerned about their property and had the wherewithal to say, look, you said I got at least 2 years left, but it's been 2 years, so let's go ahead and do the new roof. They'll do it that way, but this is just another case in point of Ron going and doing a roof inspection saying, here's where you are. You don't need anything today. When he inspected my mom's roof, she had a flashing problem, and he personally fixed it. It didn't take him very long, but he didn't even charge her. And I've heard him do that for other people, not just because it was my mom or something. This is quite a company, Buck Roofing. Commercial and residential. Folks, you cannot mess with your roof. You get a problem with your roof and you've got a real problem. Have it inspected. Have them take a look. If some of the spring storms become a problem, call 913-384-2680. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. And for crying out loud, get your heart scan. This has been one of the most popular things that we've talked about and promoted on the podcast. And it kind of happened accidentally. You know, we were talking about the heart scan almost a year ago, and then we saw what happened with the Bills player and what happened with the KU coach, and we see these high-profile cardiac events in sports, and we all start to think about our mortality a little bit. You can find out if you have plaque. You can get the scan done. Go do it, even if you feel good. I'm going to do it once a year. I was thrilled to find out my plaque score is zero. You do this at Advanced Medical Imaging in Lawrence, online at medimageks.com. Of course they do MRIs and CT scans if you have something more serious, and they'll take your insurance for that. You don't have to stay in your hospital chain or wherever your doctor is. You don't have to do that. They're going to make you wait 2 or 3 weeks sometimes to get your scan. When you think you may have a tumor or something real, you don't want to wait 2 or 3 weeks. Not only the time that goes by in case you do have a problem, but just the stress on you. Get it done now at Advanced Medical Imaging, online at medimageks.com. All right, I was going to lead with the story about Elon Musk. Elon Musk, look, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of what Elon Musk is doing. I'm a big fan of what he's doing with Twitter. There are people that apparently are farther right than me that are upset with Elon Musk that he is not the free speech warrior he claimed to be because he felt a personal security threat by some people on Twitter. The people that track his jets tell you where he is as if to say you can go do harm to him. And he censored some of that content. Then he uncensored it from some of the backlash. But he obviously is concerned for himself. And some people are pretty extreme about this and say, well, he's concerned about himself, but not others. I understand the argument. I just don't think he's done much of that. I think it is a much more, I think it is times 10 a greater free speech place and more welcoming place now that the left doesn't control it with their hate. Honestly, I believe that. But the left doesn't see it that way. We've talked about defunding, we've talked about NPR and PBS being funded by the federal government and the way he's listed them on Twitter now as sort of state-run agencies. Elon Musk has now tweeted out, NPR said they're leaving Twitter. And so Elon Musk tweeted out, defund NPR. And I want to welcome Elon Musk to something I've been talking about for 20 years. You can ask my friends and coworkers. I worked with liberals in media, and I never worked at anything that was funded by the government. And I would argue with them round and round and round. They loved KCUR radio. They loved PBS television. They loved all this stuff. And I said, it's ridiculous. It's an insult to what we do. We're sitting here taking pay cuts or working extra hours or doing all these things because we work for a private company. And those people over there, it's funded by the government. They got cushy jobs. They can, you know, have all these remarkably easy schedules and things that they do because the government subsidizes the entire deal. And these liberals I worked with just had blank stares in their eye. I said, you're missing your kid's soccer game because you're working your ass off for less money than they're making over there getting government-funded deals going on. And I don't understand why we're in that business. Then you and I, we pay our taxes. When we pay our taxes, it goes to fund their jobs. And these people would look at me with a blank stare. And I first didn't like PBS and NPR because I worked for private broadcasting companies. We felt like we're competing against them. Like, why should I at this? And I worked for several different companies before I owned my own. Why should we be competing against government-funded media? That's not right. It's just completely on its surface unfair. We have no reason for NPR or PBS. If the government wants to own those entities, they can go ahead and just own them, own and operate them, but forget the donations, forget the commercials. If they want to do, you know, whatever it is, whatever kind of propaganda, misinformation, disinformation they want to put out, they want to tell us Ukraine's winning the war, they can sit there and do it all day, but we're going to learn over time that they're lying to us. But they're lying to us the way it is. It's all leftist propaganda and everybody knows it. And if we're going to keep these entities, there's only two ways to do it. Defund them, let them support themselves with their listeners and viewers, or pass a law that says it's equal time. What, as I've suggested, 24 hours in a day, the left gets 12 hours, the right gets 12 hours, and we go every other hour. Okay, we're not going to give you, you know, the left doesn't get morning drive and afternoon drive, and the right gets middays. No, it's every other hour, completely fair. And they will lose viewers and listeners like crazy when that happens. Because depending on when you turn it on, you may get the side you don't want to hear. And then it is what it is. But that's reasonable. That's public access. That's good for the population. If people want to use the service, they can. It would make sense doing it that way. Elon Musk is done with it. He's like, this is ridiculous that the government funds these things. So he agreed to an interview with a guy from the BBC named James Clayton, who's the North American tech reporter in San Francisco for the BBC. And this man had been writing about, and a lot of people were writing about, there's too much hate on Twitter, including Elon Musk's new hate toward the BBC, which is government-funded in the UK, PBS, which is government-funded in America, NPR, which is government-funded in America, that they were seeing this as hateful and discriminatory. Elon Musk sees it as honest and free speech. Let's let the people know what this is. I'm going to put a simple moniker on Twitter that this is state-funded media. that the government pays for this. That seems reasonable to me. That is not misinformation. It is not disinformation. It is free speech, and it's accurate. Facts matter. The truth matters. So they're going after him, and there's all this, you know, kickback and everything else. Their favorite thing now is to say there is more hate speech now that it is open to people on the right than it was when there were people on the left basically controlling Twitter and making it what it was. So Elon Musk gets a email from this dude, Clayton, and apparently he says, yeah, meet me later in the day, and I'll sit down and do an interview with you about hate speech and other topics on the new Twitter. Musk said they're about to become profitable. He slashed a bunch of jobs. He gave out a lot of information in the interview. But the big takeaway here was the part of the interview that James Clayton could have never anticipated, where Elon Musk became the interviewer and James Clayton became the interviewee. He made some sort of a comment to Elon Musk that, listen, we've been in contact with a bunch of people and they're all saying there's just more and more and more hate speech going on Twitter. And so the first voice you'll hear is James Clayton. The second voice you'll hear is Elon Musk. And listen to Elon Musk turn this interview upside down on this dude from the BBC.
I would only just add that, you know, we have spoken to people who have been sacked that used to be in content moderation. And we've spoken to people very recently who were involved in moderation. And they just say there's not enough people to police this stuff, particularly around hate speech in the company.
What hate speech are you talking about? I mean, you use Twitter.
Right.
Do you see a rise in hate speech?
I mean,
just a personal anecdote. Like, what do you? I don't.
Personally, my For You, I would see I get more of that kind of content. Yeah, personally. But I'm not going to talk to the rest of for the rest of Twitter.
You see more hate speech personally.
I would say I would see more hateful content in that
content you don't like or hateful. What do you mean? To describe a hateful thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just content that will solicit a reaction, something that may include something that is slightly racist or slightly sexist, those kinds of things.
So you think if something is slightly sexist, it should be banned?
No, is that what you're saying? I'm not saying anything.
I'm just curious. I'm trying to understand what you mean by hateful content. And I'm asking for specific examples. And you just said that if something is slightly sexist, that's hateful content. Does that mean that it should be banned?
Well, you've asked me whether my feed, whether it's got less or more. I'd say it's got slightly more.
That's why I'm asking for examples. Can you name one example?
I honestly can't name a single example. I'll tell you why, because I don't actually use that For You feed anymore because I just don't particularly like it.
A lot of people
are quite similar. I only look at my following.
You said you've seen more hateful content, but you can't name a single example, not even one.
I'm not sure I've used that feed for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
How did you see the hateful content?
Because I've been using Twitter since you've taken it over for the last 6 months.
Okay, so then you must have at some point seen the For You hateful content. I'm asking for one example.
Right.
And you can't give a single one.
And I'm saying, sir,
that you don't know what you're talking about.
Really?
Yes, because you can't give me a single example of hateful content, not even one tweet. And yet you claimed that the hateful content was high.
Well,
that's a false.
No, what I claimed...
You just lied.
What I claimed was... there are many organizations that say that that kind of information is on the rise. Now, whether it has on
Give
my feed
one
or
example.
Not, I mean, I, right, and
literally
if you
can't
look at
someone
like the Strategic Dialogue Institute in the UK, they will say that.
People will say all sorts of nonsense. I'm literally asking for a single example, and you can't name one.
Right, and as I already said, I don't use that feed. But let's,
then how would you know? That
I don't think this is getting anywhere.
You literally said you experienced more hateful content, and then couldn't name a single example.
Right, and as I said,
that's absurd.
I haven't actually looked at that feed.
Then how would you know if it's hateful content?
Because I'm saying that's what I saw a few weeks ago. I can't give you an exact example. Let's move on. We only have a certain amount of time.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is how you do it. And Elon Musk did it to the BBC. I'm sure it's a giant story in the UK. It's a big story here. You just ask him for the facts. That's the easiest way to beat a liberal at anything. Name one instance. That's all Elon Musk is saying. Name one instance. Name one thing of hate speech that you've seen. Well, I haven't been on there the last 3 or 4 weeks. Okay, prior to that, name one thing. The dude couldn't. The dude's not seeing more hate speech. There's less hate speech on Twitter. It is so obvious there's less hate on Twitter. The real haters on the left are gone. They're exiting. It's not a huge number, but there were a number of people that were real instigators to a lot of hate and vitriol and just disgusting, vile content on Twitter. And some of those people have left. And it's cleaned it up. And more people have come in from the right, bringing civility, facts, things like that. Not everybody. There's some nasty people on the right. Use awful language and call people names and whatever. You shouldn't do it. Beat somebody with their facts. And that's what Elon Musk did. What he did was show everybody how to use Twitter. And the entire thing was live streamed on Twitter on something called Twitter Spaces, which is essentially like a YouTube feed or anything else that streams. So he was on this thing live. This whole thing was live. He's like, I don't want you to see this edited. Watch me talk to this guy and watch me turn this interview on him about hate speech. There is not hate speech on Twitter. We're cleaning it up. Even with fewer employees, we're cleaning it up. The whole thing's live. The interview ends. When any interview ever ends, here's what happens. The person being interviewed gets up, walks away. They shake hands, maybe say thank you, whatever, and goes on about their day. The person doing the interview collects their notes, checks their recorder, makes sure everything's good. They get with their photographer, their lighting people. This thing was on video as well. We good. We've got all that. Everything's good. You know, it takes a while to tear equipment down. You're there for a while. Well, that isn't what happened with Elon Musk. No, Elon Musk stayed around after the interview. The crew was essentially done, except for the crew that was sending this live out on Twitter on Spaces, because Elon Musk sat there after the interview and took questions live from Twitter users about everything they had just seen. This guy's unbelievable, man. He's got some Trump to him. He's got some Trump to him. In that, just ask me anything. I can handle it. Ask me something. Let's be honest about this. I've got this. He doesn't really have gaffes. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He can't run for president as the laws are now because he was born in South Africa. But Elon Musk is something else. And I loved watching him turn the tables on that reporter. That was really slick work. Hey, the Royals are coming back home. We'll get to some baseball here in a little bit. They're going to play the Braves, who are very good, and then the Rangers, three different start times this weekend. If you'd like to go to a game, ticketsforless.com is the best place to get the best seats, especially if you ever want to do anything for a client or your coworkers or employees. You want a great night out and some really good seats, or you want to get in a club level or suite boxes or something like that, ticketsforless.com. Remember, no matter what you get at Tickets for Less, any time of the year, if you use the promo code KKHI, it's going to take money off. The discount is typically between 5 and 15%, especially if you're taking a group. That's a pretty good savings. They sell tickets to theater productions here and around town or anywhere around the country. Vegas shows, wherever you're traveling, you want to see a concert, you can get your tickets from Tickets for Less. You want to see a game in another city, you want to go to a ballpark, ticketsforless.com is the place to go. Your promo code is KKHI. We have the Royals, Monster Jam coming to Arrowhead, NASCAR May 7th, Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks, Luke Combs, Ed Sheeran, Janet Jackson, all coming to Kansas City. TicketsForLess.com. Your promo code is KKHI. Advantage Termite and Pest Control. Aaron is the owner, and he's just terrific. We've known Aaron for years. The tech that came to our house this week is his nephew is now in the business. We talk about a family business. His nephew is here, and wow, did he do a great job. I was gone, but Jessica was here, and she's like, you can't believe how impressive this young guy is. I said, well, he's probably being groomed for management. He's a really young guy now and apparently just cracked the whole thing down and knew everything inside and out because he's learning the business. That's awesome, man. We love that about family businesses. Now, this is a pretty big family business. Advantage Termite and Pest Control will help you out anywhere in Kansas City. This is not some, two-truck operation here, okay? Advantage is pretty big for a family business, and they're ready to serve you at your home or your business. Online at AdvantageTPC.com, 913-768-8989. Call them up and say, I'm ready to switch, or, you know what, I'm seeing some problems, and I've been trying to do this myself, and it's not working. Advantage Termite and Pest Control would love to work for you. They are the best, and it's all guaranteed. Everything's going to be gone. You're going to be satisfied with Advantage Termite and Pest Control. And my buddy Tim Cross over at Cross Kitchens, KC, I think he's the best remodeler in Kansas City. And this is amazing because he's on every job. Okay. He works on every job. to make sure that's just right. How good is that? That the owner is there, the person you can contact, the very first person you will meet when it comes to remodeling is the man that owns the company. That's different. That's crosskitchenskc.com. I ran into a fellow the other day, says, what is that Cross Kitchens? Is that like meal deliveries to your house or something? I'm like, no. No, it was cross contracting, but they get more kitchen jobs than anything else. And he's like, we might as well just be known as Kitchen Remodels. They're doing my buddy's man cave here in a few weeks. They'll do anything, bathrooms, they'll remodel it all. But they're obviously kitchens are a very big part of their business. So they go by Cross, Tim Cross, Cross Kitchens. CrossKitchensKC.com is the website if you'd like to get some information for him about what you may want to do at your home. All right, I'm really proud of Ted Cruz. We've got this nut job, Greg Popovich, who's one of the greatest basketball coaches of all time in San Antonio. But now that his team is irrelevant, you know, they were so good for so long when they had Tim Duncan. Now that they're basically irrelevant, the way he makes news is by having his basketball news conferences and talking leftist politics. And he is a nut job. He is an absolute nut job. His latest was calling out Ted Cruz for wanting to fix our schools by having more cops or military or whatever with guns there, saying that this is an awful way for kids to grow up to be around people with guns. When I hear somebody like Popovich say that, I think if I take my 8-year-old to a Spurs game, by the time I get in my car and drive home, how many cops did my kid see? 10? 20? 30? More? You can't go to an entertainment product like the Spurs game without seeing a pile of cops. I've said this all along, that these people are disingenuous. You know, I've literally heard coaches or players that on the left that condemn some of the things in our society, and they're surrounded and guarded by people with guns because they can afford it. Well, Ted Cruz let it fly because he got called out and he got really mad when Greg Popovich went off the rails and said the Second Amendment is a myth. Greg Popovich said the myth of the Second Amendment, and guys like Ted Cruz that think they can fix this with more armed guards at school. Well, I'm waiting for a better solution. Because bad people get guns. Bad guys get guns. You can make them illegal. It's not going to stop people from doing this stuff. The way to stop them is to shoot them dead before they do it. That's the way to stop them. So here's what Ted Cruz said in response to Popovich. Quote, we've seen for a long time there's a lot of institutions in sports that really don't like their fans very much. They don't like their own customers. They don't respect their customers. They look down on them. Popovich is someone who's been a partisan for a long time. He's a liberal Democrat. This, in the NBA, you see it in the NFL, these incredibly rich athletes who hypocritically disdain their fans and customers and who lecture them almost inevitably from a point of ignorance. So Greg Popovich is telling you that it's a myth that the Second Amendment protects your rights. It's a myth that the Second Amendment protects your freedoms. I mean, that's a fairly astonishing proposition. You know what? There's a lot of NBA games. Police officers, armed police officers with weapons strapped to their holsters. Popovich is surrounded by armed security most of the time. And this is true with so many Hollywood liberals that have armed bodyguards protecting them. And they say, you little people, you don't have a right to defend your family. You don't have a right to defend your children. But me, I'm going to be surrounded in perfect safety and take away your rights to defend yourself. Unfortunately, that kind of condescension is all too common. Cruz specifically answered Popovich's question about having more police officers in schools, saying, quote, let me be clear. Yes, I want that. Look, I don't get this recent conceit of leftists that police officers don't make us more safe. Like, that's just a bizarre view. Listen, it's horrific. The rise of violent crime that we've seen across this country, but leftists like Popovich put none of the blame on George Soros district attorneys that are releasing murders. They put none of the blame on leftists that they support who are actually calling for abolishing the police. Instead, they put blame on you for exercising your right to keep and bear arms to protect your family and your children. Look, if you look at it, the number one factor that stops a violent crime in America is an armed police officer. That's who stops crime. I gotta say, it's a very strange thing for the left that they just have decided cops are bad. Let me tell you right now, I guarantee you if somebody stood up and said, we're going to pull all the police officers from Greg Popovich's neighborhood, he'd be horrified. I'll tell you what, I'd be horrified. Someone announced they were pulling the officers from my neighborhood, I'd be like, that's a terrible idea. I want officers to keep my family safe. I want officers to keep his family safe. But there's a political talking point now that if you want to keep our kids safe, clearly police officers will not do anything to help. It's just weird. It's just stupid. It's counterfactual. Ted Cruz is probably the best spokesman in America on this topic. And I feel like a lot of things in this country that are coming to light are happening in Texas and in Florida. And I'm really happy and proud of Ted Cruz and his comments. That's the way you deal with Greg Popovich, because these will get back to Popovich and he will read them. And when he reads them, you can't not read these and see truth in them. You can't. You cannot ignore the truth that Ted Cruz just put out. And Greg Popovich in front of camera is saying that the Second Amendment is a myth. And these people are crazy. They're just absolutely lost. How about those Royals? A 500 road trip. We're going to just do a positive one here today. We're getting closer to the weekend. Let's just go all positive. The Royals had a 500 road trip. They beat the Rangers on Wednesday night, 10-1. They get Thursday off. Then the Braves come and the Rangers come. 500 road trip for that team after what they went through on their homestand is impressive. I like that. Everybody in the roster, everybody in the lineup last night got a hit except Salvador Perez. Brad Keller, 2-1 on the season. Here you go. He got two outs in the seventh inning, so he pitched deep into the game. Seven strikeouts. His earned run average is down to 2.12. He's got that new breaking ball this year, and it seems to be working. I can live with nights where Salvi doesn't get a hit when the Royals win 10-1 and everybody else in the lineup got hits. Bobby Witt had three. Franmil Reyes is starting to heat it up a little bit. Vinny Pasquantino hit a bomb of a home run, and he's having I think he's up to about 300 now. He's mashing. He's hitting. They put a stat up on the broadcast last night that since the middle of August last year, it gave batting average, I think it gave slugging percentage and OPS or something like that. He's in the top four of all hitters. Now, it's not a giant sample. So you've got a couple weeks in August, you've got all of September, and maybe a week in October, and now you've got 2 weeks in this season. So it's a decent amount of time. It said minimum 200 plate appearances, so that's pretty good. Minimum 200. He's the third best hitter in all of baseball. What? Pasquatch is? I know he's a surprise, and he's good. This was not a highly drafted player. It's not somebody the Royals thought was going to be a stud. I love when this happens. When you just force your way into the big leagues and then you're successful, I love these stories. Vinny Pasquantino's doing that. I'm going to tell you what, when he hits a home run, nobody digs in, lowers their shoulder, and plants their feet and swings as hard as Vinny Pasquantino. He's going to hit some kind of a Kauffman Stadium record this year. You watch. That dude is strong, and he swings really hard. But somehow, he gets a lot of other hits and keeps his average up. I'm not that excited, but I'm not overly excited about the Royals. I enjoyed watching this game. I think it is really nice that they were 500 on the road trip. They should have won the night before. They should have been 4-2 on this road trip. Then you'd have a real reason to be excited. Say, hey, look, they just won 2 out of 3 and 2 out of 3. That'd be pretty cool. But I'm telling you, if they get enough good pitching performances, they're going to win some games. They're not going to be a 100-loss team if they get good pitching. And they just have a lot of nights where their starting pitchers go out there and do the job. Of course, the games are all shorter. We've talked a great deal about that. They're 38 minutes shorter. And I feel like I'm always on the cutting edge of things because I'm really inquisitive. I'm a curious guy. And I asked before the season started, if you remember on a podcast, if you listen every day, you'll remember this. I said, what's going to happen to vending and concessions and the stadium shop now that your customers are at your point of sale 38 minutes shorter every night? If your customers are at your business 38 minutes less per day, that's not good for business. As this overall, it's good. Faster baseball is a good thing. The pace, the interest of watching the game, everything they've done has worked. One homestand. The Royals made it through one homestand. I said, my God, what's going to happen to beer sales at these games as the games are over at 9:15? What's going to happen to beer sales? Cotton candy, popcorn, whatever. Clearly, it's going to be a major thing. They made it through one homestand, folks, and they changed the rules. The beer sale rules have changed at Kauffman Stadium. It doesn't sound like much. It's only one inning. They still don't want you drinking until the last out in the ninth, but you can drink through eight innings now at Kauffman Stadium. The bars, there's a couple of bar areas at Kauffman Stadium. Those are now staying open until 30 minutes after the game. If you want to stick around and do that, that's apparently a different deal. But the actual beer vendors and the concession stands where you sell beer, you can now drink through the eighth inning. They looked at their receipts from the first homestand and went, oh my God, look at how concessions are down. I was the one who was saying in February, they better raise the prices right now. Whatever they priced everything at, they should put 25 cents more on it because they're going to lose money on everything this year with these shorter games. They didn't see it coming. Now they're extending the beer sales. It will be interesting to see if they keep their prices the same. The Royals get a cut. They have a vending service that does all this, and then they get a percentage. They're going to be looking at losing revenues this year off of sales at the ballpark. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point they go on a long road trip and very quietly people will start emailing me and say, you know what, I went back and I noticed that peanuts are 25 cents more. And they'll blame it on inflation. They won't say shorter games. They can say Joe Biden. That's fine with me. Blame it on Biden if you want. But we all know what's going on here. If your customers are at your place 38 minutes less each day, you're not going to make as much selling stuff. You just aren't. And the Royals have already changed the beer rule. New beer rule at Kauffman Stadium. Drink through eight innings. How about that? Missouri basketball coach Dennis Gates got his first couple of transfers of the offseason. We talk about the transfer portal a lot. These sound like ridiculously great players. The first is John Tonji, a 6'5 guard from Colorado State. He'll be the oldest guy on the team. Dennis Gates describes him as a scorer. He averaged 15 points a game last year and a leader of men. This guy's old. I think this is going to be like a sixth-year player, and they're going to love having him on the team. Then they got, and this used to be a bigger deal, like now that there's a transfer portal, I guess maybe people don't focus on junior college transfers quite as much. Missouri got the junior college player of the year. This kid won the national title. He averaged 14 a game, which is not just eye-popping, but wait, give me six rebounds a game as well, and he hit 48% of his three-pointers. Better yet, Kurt Lewis, who's coming in, the national player of the year, scored 27 points in the national semifinal game and 18 in the title game, winning a national championship. That's exactly what you're looking for. When you're looking for transfers, that's what you're looking for. Did they win a bunch of games? Were they leaders on their teams? It's almost like looking at the best minor league players. Colorado State, junior college, boom, you're ready for Mizzou in the SEC. Way to go, Dennis Gates. Scary night in baseball last night. Not the Royals game. Cleveland was playing the Yankees. Larry Vanover was an umpire in this game, and he had moved into position in the middle of the field between the pitcher's mound and second base to call a potential throw to second base for an out there. The ball was in the outfield. The relay throw came to the second baseman. The second baseman, Andrés Giménez, turned for Cleveland and threw to the plate to try to get the Yankees runner out. When he turned to throw the plate, he hit the umpire right in the head and dropped him. He was taken to the hospital. He walked off. He was dazed and confused. They said, the only thing they've said, I don't know if he's out of the hospital yet or not. I mean, he got hit hard in the head. No helmet, nothing, right? The report was, when they told him what happened, he said he wasn't aware that he was hit in the head. But he was awake and walked off the field. Wow. That is scary. Our final coming up is brought to you by Back 9 Development, online at back9development.com. If you're interested in a custom home, commercial property, or have some land you would like to develop, contact TJ Vilkanskis at Back 9 Development, 785-236-0161. Check out their portfolio, if nothing else, just for fun. Go see what they make. See the beautiful homes they build and projects that they have at back9development.com. Fry Orthodontics, Dr. Jeremy's a big baseball fan. He loves going to Royals games. And he's the best orthodontist in Kansas City. It really can't be argued at this point. They have 13 locations, and they're just terrific. And the orthodontists that work at all the different locations, they have one mandate from the top, and that is we will smile. This will be a happy place, and we will make this as comfortable as we possibly can for every patient we have. I love that about Fry Orthodontics. There's really nothing more to know. Their pricing's outstanding. You get Invisalign for the same price as braces. Your first appointment's free. Ask them how to fix your smile. Just go in there and have them check you out. How do I fix this smile? FryOrthodontics.com. And the Finch Knife Company is online at FinchKnifeCo.com. They're taking new dealers as well. If you have a store and you would like to stock Finch Knives and sell them there, we'll mention you on the podcast. You put Finch Knives in your store, I'll mention you on the podcast that you have them. We'll help your store out. Depending on who you are, get them in those stores, man. Let's do that. You've got retail locations. Let's go. Let's get the Finch Knives in your store. Finch Knife Company. Keep life from getting dull. They're in Shields. They're at the Bullet Hole. They're at Teague Tractor in Belton. They're in a few places, retail. They'd like to be in more. If you would like to sell the Finch Knives, contact them through the website. Finch Knife Company is online at FinchKnifeCo.com. Spencer is the man over there. Spencer Marquardt is just terrific. And he would love to work with you and your company at FinchKnifeCo.com. Our final is two streaks from baseball. Tampa Bay Rays won their 12th in a row, amazingly. They have tied the Major League record. They'll tie the Major League record with one more. They are playing against Boston. The Major League record is 13-0 to start the season. And if they win one more, they've got it. They play Boston on Thursday afternoon. And if they win that game, 13-0 does it. They're pretty darn amazing. 12-0, Tampa, to start the year. This one is even more interesting, and sometimes I like a good stat to start a season or whatever. I like a good baseball factoid. But sometimes there's a little bit of a stretch. There's a caveat to the category this person fits in. It's diving a little too deep, but this one's so funky that I got to share it with you. Jordan Walker is a young stud with the Cardinals. He has started the season with a 12-game hitting streak. He has tied a player named Eddie Murphy from 1912, 111 years ago, that started the season with a 12-game hitting streak. Eddie Murphy, 1912. That was the youngest hitting streak to start a year by someone that is 20 or younger. That's the caveat. You're 20 or younger, and you started your career in a season with a 12-game hitting streak. So they're tied for first now. Walker has a chance to hold the record. That means the next person is in third place. Who do you think is third? Third place happened in 1939 when a young Ted Williams started his season with a 9-game hitting streak. So maybe it matters, maybe it doesn't. Eddie Murphy, I think of him as Saturday Night Live, 48 Hours, Beverly Hills Cop. Ted Williams, I think Baseball Hall of Fame. Jordan Walker, probably doesn't think he's a movie star. I think he would like to be more like Ted Williams than the baseball Eddie Murphy. Hey, hit that like or follow button if you don't mind. If you haven't done it yet, get the notification every time we put the podcast up. Tell your friends about the podcast if you can. If you'd like to sign up and become a patron, we'd love to have you there. We've done two patron podcasts this week. We did an unbelievable patron podcast yesterday that was completely different than any other podcast I would do here. I will tell you why. I played a 3-minute clip of a liberal podcaster losing her absolute mind that her condo association was going to assess her money for putting in charging stations in California. And she must have said the F word a dozen times. And she lost her mind and pounded the table. And she's mad at Gavin Newsom. And she's a liberal. And we had fun with that. And I gave a warning before I played it that I didn't bleep these out. This is what it is. I'm not going to play that stuff here. It's not really what I do. We just do different content for the patrons. It's just different. It's a smaller group. I figure if you go there, you're probably into more things or can handle certain things, or maybe you listen alone more often where you wouldn't want this up in a workplace or around your kids or whatever. So we do different things at the Patreon podcast. It is not just an extension of this. It's different. When breaking news happens, we do Patreon podcasts. I get emails all the time. Why didn't you cover this topic? Well, I put it on a Patreon podcast. Why didn't you do this? It was on the Patreon podcast yesterday. And then I don't come repeat that here, because those folks like to hear it all. If you want to hear more, sign up. It's only $5 a month. And we do a newsletter every weekend. You get weekend content For $5, go to kkhasissues.com. Click on Become a Patron. kkhasissues.com. Become a patron. It is very easy. The people that are patrons love it. We're putting together a patron event. I'm trying to get together with Chris DeGaulle from KCMO Talk Radio. He's got a thing he calls Harumph Society. I've got our patron program here, and we're thinking about doing a joint event where we're all together in one place. And it may involve cigars. I don't know how many of you are cigar smokers. We're working on that for the patrons. If you want to do some of these cool in-person events, I typically buy food for you, take good care of you. It's fun. It's fun being a patron. Join us, won't you? kkhasissues.com. Click on the little icon in the upper right-hand corner that says Patron or Become a Patron. Click right on it and join us today at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.